too. "See, Paolo," said Rye, stepping out onto the stadium's royal balcony. "I told you it wouldn't sink." The attendant hugged the back wall, looking ill. "So far, so good, Your Highness," he said, straining to be heard over the trumpets. Rye turned his smile on the waiting crowd. Thousands upon thousands had piled into the central stadium for the opening ceremonies. Above, the canvas birds dipped and soared on their silk tethers, and below, the polished stone of the arena floor stood empty, save for three raised platforms. Poles mounted on each hung massive banners, each with an empire's seal. The Faroan tree, the Vescan crow, the Arnesian chalice. Atop each platform, 12 shorter poles stood with banners furled, waiting for their champions. Everything was perfect. Everything was ready. As the trumpets trailed off, a cold breeze rustled Rye's curls, and he touched the band of gold that hugged his temples. More gold glittered in his ears, at his throat, at collar and cuff, and, as it caught the light, Alucard's voice pressed against his skin. "I fear you haven't enough." Rye stopped fidgeting. Behind him, the king and queen sat enthroned on gilded chairs flanked by Lord Solinar and the Tascan siblings. Master Tirin stood to the side.
"Shall I, father?"
The king nodded, and Rye stepped forward until he was front and center on the platform, overlooking the arena. The royal balcony sat not at the very top of the stadium, but embedded in the center of one sloping side, an elegant box halfway between the competitors' entrances and directly across from the judges' own platform. The crowd began to hush, and Rye grinned and held up a gold ring the size of a bracelet. When he spoke, the spelled metal amplified his words. The same charmed rings, albeit copper and steel, had been sent to taverns and courtyards across the city so that all could hear. During the matches, commentators would use the rings to keep the city apprised on various victories and defeats. But at this moment, the city's attention belonged to Rye.
"Good morning to all who have gathered."
A ripple of pleased surprise went through the gathered crowd when they realized he was speaking Arnesian. The last time the tournament had been held in London, Rye's father had stood above his people and spoken High Royal, while a translator on a platform below offered the words in the common tongue. But this wasn't just an affair of state, as his father claimed. It was a celebration for the people, the city, the empire. And so Rye addressed his people, his city, his empire, in their tongue. He went a step further, too. The platform below, where the translators of not only Arnes but also Faroe and Vesk were supposed to stand, was empty. The foreigners frowned, wondering if the absence was some kind of slight. But their expressions became buoyant when Rye continued.
"Gladach," he said, addressing the Veskans. "Aneg keltach."
And then, just as seamlessly, he slid into the serpentine tongue of Faroe.
"Sasors noran amours."
He let the words trail off, savoring the crowd's reaction. Rye had always had a way with languages. About time he put some of them to use.
"My father, King Maxim, has given me the honor of overseeing this year's tournament."
This time as he spoke, his words echoed from other corners of the stadium, his voice twisting into the other two neighboring tongues. An illusion, one Kel had helped him design using a variety of voice and projection spells. His father insisted that strength was the image of strength. Perhaps the same was true for magic.
"For more than 50 years, the Element Games have brought us together through good sport and festival, given us cause to toast our Vescan brothers and sisters and embrace our Faroan friends. And though only one magician, one nation, can claim this year's title, we hope that the games will continue to celebrate the bond between our great empires."
Rye tipped his head and flashed a devilish smile.
"But I doubt you're all here for the politics. I imagine you're here to see some magic.
A cheer of support went through the masses.
Well then, I present to you your magicians.
A column of glossy black fabric unfurled from the base of the royal platform, the end weighted so it stretched taut. A matching banner unspooled from the opposite side of the arena.
From Pharaoh, our venerable neighbor to the south, I present the twins of wind and fire, Tas Anmir and Tos Anmir, the wave whisperer Olran Es, the unparalleled Astragal.
As Rai read each name, it appeared in white script against the dark silk banner beneath him.
From Vesk, our noble neighbors to the north, I present the mountainous Otto, the unmovable Vox, the ferocious Rule.
And as each name was called, the magicians strode forward across the arena floor and took their place on the podium.
And finally, from our great empire of Arns, I present your champion, the Fire Cat, Kisimir.
A thunderous cheer went through the crowd.
The Sea King, Alucard, the Windborn Jinnar.
And as each magician took their place, their chosen banner unfurled above their head.
And Kamarov, the Silver Knight.
It was a dance, elaborate and elegant and choreographed to perfection. The crowd rumbled with applause as the last of the Arnesian pennants snapped in the cool morning air, a set of twin blades above Stassian Elsor.
Over the next 5 days and nights, continued Rai, these 36 magicians will compete for the title and the crown.
He touched his head.
You can't have this one, he added with a wink. It's mine.
A ripple of laughter went through the stands.
No, the tournament crown is something far more spectacular. Incomparable riches, unmatchable renown, glory to one's name, one's house, and one's kingdom.
All traces of riding vanished from the curtains of black fabric, and the lines of the tournament grid appeared in white.
For the first round, our magicians have been paired off.
As he said it, names wrote themselves into the outer edges of the bracket. Murmurs went through the crowd, and the magicians themselves stirred as they saw their opponents' names for the first time.
The 18 victors, continued Rai, will be paired off again, and the 9 that advance will be placed into groups of 3, where they will face off one-on-one. From each group, only the one with the highest standing will emerge to battle in the final match. 3 magicians will enter, and only one will leave victorious. So tell me, finished Rai, twirling the golden ring between his fingers, are you ready to see some magic?
The noise in the stadium rose to a deafening pitch, and the prince smiled. He might not have been able to summon fire or draw rain or make trees grow, but he still knew how to make an impact. He could feel the audience's excitement as if it were beating inside him. And then he realized it wasn't only their excitement he was feeling, it was also Kel's. All right, brother, he thought, balancing the gold ring on his thumb like a coin.
The time has come to marvel and cheer and choose your champions. And so, without further delay...
Rai flicked the gold circle up into the air, and as he did, fireworks exploded overhead. Each explosion of light had been paired with its own midnight blue burst of smoke, an illusion of night that reached only as far as the firework and set it off against the winter gray sky. He caught the ring and held it up again, his voice booming over the fireworks and the crowd's cheers.
Let the games begin!